Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I don't have a title on today. I won't say it's a struggle, but the Lord was just, amen, talking to me all the way into this morning, and I don't have a title. So that's why I just have Luke 4, amen, up on the screen. And this word, and I know that all words are supposed to be to the speaker, to the preacher, to the minister first. Amen. But this word is really, it was really to me first. I praise God for the last few months for each minister, Pastor T, taking a month, amen, to preach. For me not to have to carry the heavy load on my own is a blessing. And so I thank God for this word on today. And what I did, it's going to be a personal testimony, but I hope that it's also an example. Amen. And I'm not even quite sure of how to explain what I'm feeling. So Holy Ghost, just have your way. And so in these verses, the context of this verse, this is one of my favorite verses. I always refer to this verse because I just love, number one, Jesus is talking. And he is so confident in who he is and what he is called to do. When he says these words, he's in his hometown of Nazareth. He walks into the synagogue. He walks into the church. They hand him the scroll, and he's quoting Isaiah. He's quoting the prophet Isaiah, and he reads these verses. He hands the scroll back to the people, and he sits down, and he starts talking. And I just love I love these verses just because of the confidence. And as I just was reading this over and over and over again, this is the verse that was sticking with me all week as I was preparing just these two verses. I was reading. I went to Isaiah to get the context of that. Reading. I'm saying, God, what do you want me to do with this? How do you want me to deliver this? And I'm trying to think of a word for y'all. And the Lord said, this word is really for you. This word is really for you. And so I want to explain. God would have me to explain, right? He would have me to explain what's happening in the spirit. And when I say what's happening in the spirit, I'm thankful that we don't have any visitors on today. I want y'all to understand, God wants us to understand what's happening right now in this season, in this time. Because I can't preach a message without thinking about y'all. And that's my problem some of the time. I think so much about y'all that I neglect to think about myself. I'm not saying that in a self-righteous way. I'm saying that I start thinking so much about what y'all need, I start to not see the blind spots in my own walk. And God says, sometimes you just got to sit with me so I can work on the things that I need to work on with you. Because you can preach, and think you have all the answers because you're constantly giving out answers. Even on my natural job, constantly coming up with solutions and the answers, you can start to get into your head and think that you actually have all of the answers when you don't. And so God says, I need you to understand, first to me and then to you, I need you to understand what's happening in the spirit, and I need you to put the word into context. Get out of your feelings. Right. He told me to get out of my feelings. And that's why I say I'm glad that we don't have no visitors in here. I can just talk to y'all. I can talk to my house. He said, get out of your feelings about how you are perceived. Right. And he says, make sure that I'm perceived. Right. He told me, get out of your feelings about how you think people view and see you, and just make sure that I'm seen. And then after he told me, he said, I keep. And this is how I hear him in my head. He said, I keep telling you that. It was almost like a spanking. He was like, I keep telling you that. Like, sometimes God has to remind you of the stuff that you pray. How you going to pray to be invisible and then worry about being seen? He said, I keep telling you that. And so if you've been around long enough, some of y'all remember when I told this dream about I was tasked with putting Jesus on the stage. But by the time it was like a journey to the stage, but by the time I got to the stage and I looked around, I had lost Jesus and I was the only one standing there. And I never want that to happen. And so what God was explaining to me first in Isaiah 61 and in Luke 4, what he was explaining to me first, right, is that sometimes, you know, let me say this is so hard for me to put in words, y'all. So I'm reading Isaiah, right? And when you read it, you would think, okay, it's the book. The book is named after, it's Isaiah. Isaiah talking. Isaiah is saying these things. Isaiah is telling the people what God, right? It would seem like all of it is about Isaiah. But God said, you do realize Isaiah is not talking about himself. The book is not about Isaiah. Nothing that he's saying, nothing that I have tasked with him to do is about him. It's all about me. And I need y'all to understand that in Isaiah, what he was telling them, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach. He was talking about a future time. He was talking about a Savior that they could not see. He was talking about something that they were not currently experiencing. When Isaiah told the people, right, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach. They were in a bad spot, y'all. They had just got out of captivity. And they were looking around in the temple, and the temple was ruined. They was looking around. It's like, how is this man talking about the year of Jubilee? How is he talking about the captives being set free? How is he talking about being forgiven of debts? How is he talking about all these things that we in a bad spot? So when Jesus in Luke 4 quotes Isaiah, the same thing is happening. They are under Roman occupation. They have been waiting centuries for a Savior. Jesus steps into the church in his hometown. People who saw him grew up. He steps into his church and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, the recovery of sight to blind, to set at liberty them abused, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And they were fine with it as long as he was quoting Isaiah. We've been hearing this for years, Jesus. That's some good scripture right there. That's the same thing Isaiah told our people way back in the day. That's the same word that my grandmama, that's some good word. They were fine with it until Jesus said, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears today. They said, what? You ain't you Joseph's son? How are you claiming to be the answer to all our problems? I'm going somewhere, y'all. I'm going somewhere. God was talking to me and he said, I need you to understand what you're reading. He's talking to me as I'm studying. I need you, son, to understand what you're reading. You see Isaiah's name. You know that Isaiah is speaking, but it's me that's talking through him. I use Isaiah to describe what's going to happen in the future. And I fulfill these events. This is the Holy Spirit talking to me. God is saying, I did the things that Isaiah said I was going to do. And now I'm telling you to put these things into context for yourself. And to put these things into context for the congregation. Too many times, and he's talking to me first. I was about to say to y'all, but this is what he said to me. He says, your problem is you want to apply the reverence that is reserved for me to yourself. Some of y'all, I know it might be over. I know it might be over. But sometimes we want the recognition or we want to be seen. But y'all do understand that glory was not made for you. It was made for him. Only thing we're supposed to do is reflect it. And this is your pastor telling you that God had to sit me down and say, you want the reverence. This is your problem. Let me tell you what's going on with you in this season in your life. You want the reverence that is reserved for me. You want them to hang on to your words, not mine. You want to be the wise expert under the disguise of helping people and being a good Christian. Is deceitful. See, God don't talk to some of y'all like that. Only thing y'all hear is good stuff. This how he talked to your pastor. He say it's deceitful. And the thing about it, y'all, that's not something that I do intentionally. That's that flesh. That's that Romans 7. What you mean? That's why I say I get so caught up. Y'all don't understand. Y'all don't understand the weight of pastoring, the weight of leading. Do y'all underline, and it's not me. We see it through our scripture. Do y'all understand why Moses struck the rock? Because you cast, like you put up on this pedestal, and God is saying, like, do these things, and you forget that you ain't the one that's supposed to be lifted up. That he's the one that's supposed to be lifted up. And the word says if he's lifted up, he'll draw all right. So he never says that. He never intended for me to be lifted up. So he tells me all of these things and then he hits me. See, he talked to me through the scripture. See, somebody, and I know a lot of y'all say, I wonder how you hear the voice of the Lord. Number one, you got to stand your word. If you stand your word for 1 week and then you put it down and come back a month later, he ain't gonna talk to you. So after he told me, he said, it's deceitful. And then he said, he hit me how he hit Peter. He said, but I have prayed for you. And if you know your word, you'll know. He said, Satan desires to sift you like wheat. He said, but I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. He told me to forget the way of thinking that I'm sitting in. He says it hinders you, it does not serve you, and it weakens you. Lord, I thank you. When Jesus quotes Isaiah 61, it's a prophet. He's quoting a prophetic announcement. Jesus is telling the people, he says, Jubilee is coming. Read Leviticus 25 if you want to know about Jubilee. He said, freedom is coming, healing is coming, justice is coming, restoration is coming. In the middle of your struggle, all of these things is coming. And it's fulfilled on today. Jesus walked in. Imagine. God is asking me to put this into context for y'all. Jesus is telling you today that your freedom is here, sis. Right? He's saying your freedom. He said your financial struggle is over. Hallelujah. He said restoration is coming. He said healing is coming. And it's here today. Now, see, y'all all right with me telling you it's coming, but when I put that today part on it, you mean what? Some of y'all struggle with believing that because I put that today on it. Y'all okay with hoping for a future promise? But when Jesus say, I did it, it's already done, it's finished, stop sending it, stop worrying about it. Ooh, I don't know about that. When he say you already free, you no longer addicted, you don't have to live like you've been living. You okay with hoping for that future thing to come. But when he say today, it's fulfilled in your ears. Oh, that's just Pastor Johnson talking. That's just him talking. I need y'all to understand, struggles, this your pastor talking, struggles still occur after salvation. Struggles still occur after salvation. This is what the Lord taught. He says, son, struggles still occur after salvation, and I'm trying to unlock something in you. That's y'all problem. Y'all think, we think, right? I'm going to bring it back to me. I'm trying so hard not to say y'all. I really need y'all to understand he was talking to me first. He's like, you think because you can slice and dice the word, because you can read the night before and preach a sermon, because you can write a book, because you can give our answers, because you know, because you can just, you had a spirit of, you think, because you can do all of them things, that the struggle has stopped? He say struggle still. Do y'all understand when Isaiah gave them this message, they were out of captivity. But they still had the captive mind state. when he freed them from Egypt, they were free from the bondage, but they still had the slave mind state. And what that's showing us in the Old Testament is that even when you say, Lord, come into my life, you can still walk around with a captive mind state and not believe that Jesus has set you free.
Glory, glory.
And so if he's saying that to your pastor, if Pastor Carter, if she say, I'm just on the first step, I'm trying to figure out how everybody else got so far.
Glory, glory.
I'm 20 years in. Over 10 preaching. And God say, oh, this was wrong with you. You discouraged because you're not getting a response from the people that you thought like, and y'all please understand what response I want. The response I want is that you're going to live holy. The response that I want is that you're going to do right by your family. The response that I want, that you're going to show up from church, that you're going to pay your tithe, that you're going to love one another. You're going to be a great husband, a great father. You're going to tolerate. You're going to live for the Lord. You're going to read your Bible. That's the response that I want. But it's the fact that God said you want it for you. They ain't responding how you want them to respond, so you discouraged. He said they devotion and they reverence and they, so he basically what he was saying, what you mad for? They ain't doing it to you. They doing it to me. And you forgot that. That verse, that Isaiah 61, that Luke 4. It addresses the fact that God is talking when Jesus reads that, when he goes to his hometown and he's sitting there and he's reading them Isaiah 61. He's addressing the people who are physically free, but still spiritually bound. That's how you can show up to the church every Sunday and still go home feeling like you locked up. He said, you're free to go wherever you want. You're free to choose whatever church you want in this city. You're free to do all of that. But wherever you go, you need to understand you're going to take you with you. You can move to a whole nother city and you still going with you. He's addressing the people who are home from exile but still living in ruins. Now I need y'all to understand that when they left Babylon, they went back to a temple that was broke down. You can be saved, but you got to rebuild a temple. Y'all understand, you can give your life to Christ, but that's when the real work begin when you come up out the water. Some of us, we live for the day to get in the water. Ooh, I said it. Ooh, I got baptized. I'm done. No, now the work about to begin for real. Now you got to rebuild the temple. That's why you can have a home. You can have a whole house and it not feel like home. He's addressing the people that's trying to rebuild but lacking hope. When you start trying to build that temple, them bricks get real heavy sometimes. But you need to understand that God is trying to build a place of worship in you. He's talking to a people like, how you telling me I'm free, Lord, and I feel like I'm surrounded by enemies? Y'all, Psalm 23, you prepare a table for me, right? In the presence. Of my enemies. And all of these things that Jesus is declaring are essentially the good news. My job, he's reminding me with this sermon that my job is to communicate the good news. And in this season, in 3PD, in this house, what this is all about, God wants me to communicate restored community. He is trying to build oneness in this house, but so many of us are making it like Pastor T was saying in her prayer. We making it about us. That's why you can't get nowhere. That's what he told me. He said, I see what's wrong with you. That's why you talking to me. That's why you can't get nowhere. And you might be saying, Pastor, I went and think, what you mean you can't get nowhere? See, I'm not the type of person that want to stay where I was. See, some of you, see, somebody might take this and run and say, Pastor, ooh, he beating up on himself hard. Like, I'm not saying that I done backslid and went to the world, but I'm no longer satisfied with the Holy Ghost I had last month. I don't want to stay there. And God say, like, you struggling, you got all that tension in your neck, you got all this stuff in here, but I've come to a plateau in my spiritual walk, and I don't want to be there no more. I want to keep going higher. I ain't talking about being saved and not being saved.
Yeah.
Like I'm past that. Somebody else might need to get a life to the Lord today.
Yeah.
But I'm past the point of being saved and unsaved. Like, what type of struggle do you like? I'm not struggling. And if you are, that's fine. But I ain't struggling with smoking weed no more. I ain't struggling with lust no more. I'm not struggling with addiction. That was me in my 20s. That was me drunk in my 20s. That was me hoeing in high school and in college. I don't struggle with that no more. But I still got struggles, and now my struggles are spiritual.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to be more like Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we look around and say, oh, I'm okay, because sus, me and sus, we about in the same place on our walk. You doing it wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got you measuring your walk by the wrong standard.
Yeah. Jesus.
You measuring your walk by the wrong. Your struggle can't be Pastor T's struggle.
Yeah.
Ryan and Alton ain't the same person. It don't matter what other people struggle. So and God say, you so bad, worry about what everybody else. You don't stop climbing the mountain for yourself. As I was doing this, what I started to realize, God say, and I just thought that, like, it started to make sense. He said, what I have found, y'all, preaching has made me bitter. It has made me bitter. It's made me bitter in a lot of ways. And this is what I got. He says, because familiarity can become an enemy of faith. You can get so familiar with what you've been doing. Here we go. Let's go to 3PD again. We're going to play the music. We're going to cry. We gonna shout, somebody gonna preach, somebody gonna fall out in the flow, they gonna get up, and then they gonna go do the same thing they been doing. See, for y'all, it might be new. For me, it's been watching it for the last 10 years. For me, it's showing up every Sunday and watching people do the same thing for 10 years. And it make me bitter. Because I know I can't turn my back on the Lord. But Lord, I'm tired. And he said that your problem is you done let the people discourage you to the point that you ain't even climbing for yourself no more. So when I started, see, you forget, sometimes you forget how you start. And you think that you done came past that struggle and you let your guard down. See, y'all went there when I started. Y'all went there when I would go home and my wife would say, all right, now Moses. Because I would be so angry from preaching and not seeing people live it. And she would have to remind me that Moses didn't make it in the promised land because he let the people discourage him. And he watched everybody else go in that he didn't get to go with Joshua and then when they were conquering stuff. And you think that you passed that struggle. And then God remind you 20 years later, don't forget the lesson I taught you a long time ago. Don't forget the lesson that I taught you a long time ago. Isaiah wasn't talking about Isaiah. He said, I'm the answer. You ain't the answer. He said, this is why I gave you Luke 4. This is why you love this verse, because you love the confidence. You love everything, right? I love when I read it. I love the confidence that Jesus has, right? But he says, he told me, say, you love it, but I need you to realize that those verses are only fulfilled in me. What you mean, Pastor? Sometimes we read the word and we put our stuff in the hero spot. We always David. We never Goliath. We never the big giant that's in the way, cursing God. You ain't always, God say, you ain't the light. When he says, the spirit of the Lord is upon me because he have anointed me to preach, he ain't talking about me. He ain't talking about me. He talking about himself. Any power that I have in preaching is because he gave it to me. any strength that I have, anything that I'm good at, if I'm a good communicator, if I'm a good teacher, if I'm anything good, it's because he did. But we have a tendency to always think, ooh, that's good right there. That must be, that's a word for me. He talking about me. That's what I am. Even Jesus said, why you call me good? Even Jesus said, why you call me good? None is good but my Father. Because he wanted us to understand that we never going to get to that point where we just it. We never going to get to the point where we just it. And when you start thinking that you it, you start to look at other people differently. Like, come on, get it together, get it together, get it together. And you fail to realize that you ain't even got it together. You might have it a little bit more together than everybody else, according to where they are on their walk, but there's still something in you that God is calling deceitful.
Yeah.
It's still something in you. I don't care how long you've been, it's still something in you that's not like God, that he's trying to get out of you. He says that Luke 4 can only be fulfilled in me, not in Moses, not in Isaiah, and not in you. If you want, and this is Luke 4, if you want real freedom, you got to accept Jesus without the miracles.
Amen.
See, that's going to mess some of y'all up, because y'all only want them for the miracles. If you want real freedom, you have to accept Jesus without the miracles. What if Jesus say, I'm not going to heal you? He said, I ain't going to heal you. That's why Mary was messed up. They said, Jesus, if you hadn't been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. They were upset because if you had a cane, why you didn't come in and rescue me? My brother wouldn't have died. What if he don't raise him from the dead? What if he don't put him out off the hospital bed? What if you never get the bank account that you've been praying on? Real freedom is when you accept them without the miracles. Where you get that from? Keep reading Luke 4. He was in Nazareth. They were fine with him quoting Isaiah till he said it's already done. He said, surely y'all gonna say to me, do one of the miracles that you did over there. Cause they like, you Joseph boy, right?
Yeah.
Like sometimes y'all want, like, you won't take, I can't just, it feels that way sometimes. I can't just preach this and this is enough. You need a demonstration. You need to come to the altar and feel something. Ooh, I feel woozy. You need to feel power. Because if I just preach and say, okay, y'all, no altar call. We going home. We ain't crying this Sunday.
Yeah, this ain't good enough.
You be wanting to, like, I want to see it. I need to see it turn around. And then I know, Pastor, that you was actually in the word when I see it actually turn. I need to see the money first. Then I believe that I'm free from debt.
Jesus.
But if you want real freedom,
yeah.
You got to accept Jesus without the miracle. He said, I know y'all going to turn and say, do one of the miracles, Jesus, that you did over there. And you know what Jesus told him? He said in Elijah day, it was a famine. Mm-hmm. It was all over the land. And he only provided food for one, the widow and her son. And she wouldn't even know Hebrew. Then he said, remember when Naaman had leprosy, people around here with leprosy and all this stuff. He said, I didn't hear all of them. I hear the Gentile. I hear Naaman. I told him to get in the Jordan. He the only one I hear. And when Jesus said that, they wanted to kill him. The word said that they say, ooh, we're going to stone you. How dare you say that? Because we don't want to hear that. Those people were healed. That widow, what did she do for Elijah to bless her with oil that would not fail? She gave her land. She had faith. She didn't know. That lady was preparing to die. She was preparing to die. And she gave Elijah her land. He said, make something for me. She said, I was just about to cook it for me and my son. Then we were going to lay down and die. But I'm going to trust. She did it before he gave her what she was asking for. Jesus, if you want freedom, you have to accept Jesus without the miracles. Because what happens is, this is why they were mad at Jesus. Because he did not look like He didn't look like. He didn't look like what they thought the Savior was supposed to look like. Yeah. Do y'all realize that your freedom and your salvation and your joy and your deliverance and you being plentiful and living in abundance probably not going to look. Yeah. Your healing is probably not going to look like what you think it's going to look like.
That's so true.
That's so true. You think wealth is having a lot of money. It ain't gonna look. That made them so mad they wanted to kill him. Cause they say, this Joseph, you Joseph boy, you ain't the Savior. As soon as you realize that the Spirit moves nothing like you thought it would, you become disappointed in this word here, offended. You become offended. And Jesus, I wrote down, he was talking to me. He said, I need you to learn that everything about me is offensive. Everything about Jesus is offensive. Why? Because it goes against your nature. It go against your sin nature. Even when you still saved, it go against your nature. He's so high and he's so holy. It offends us. Galatians 5 and 11. Read that when you get some time. I told you I wasn't reading them, but I'm giving them to you. Paul calls the truth of the gospel, he calls it the offense of the cross. Why? Because the cross eliminates human pride. It eliminates human pride. Right? I was sitting at home, I was thinking, how's somebody going to talk about Pastor? All that I do? Right? How folks going to talk about me on my job? All that I do? The cross take that away. It won't let you. It won't let you sit in your pride. The cross eliminates self-righteousness. I remember the Sunday Pastor Carter said, this is when I first started going to church. That thing cut me to my heart. Because I thought I was doing so, like, I wasn't even preaching yet. I wasn't even teaching yet. I just thought I was just a naturally good person. I was trying hard. Like, God, I ain't bad. I ain't out here doing what the other folks doing. And she said, you ain't died for nobody. That's what the cross mess you up. Because you be thinking, like, yeah, I'm preaching. I'm doing stuff. We doing, like, I'm looking out for people. I ain't got up on no cross. I ain't laid down my life for the sins of the world. The cross trump all your good. Now, as much as you preach, as much as you pray, as much as you look out for folk, as much as you think you're doing right by your husband and by your children, then all this stuff, that's like the child that want a reward for making good grades. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. The cross messes up the whole idea that you can earn salvation. Cause that's a lot of us. You're checking them boxes. Boom, 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 boom. Checking them boxes. Thank you. We in there. Cross messed it up. The cross messed it up. If the cross is not doing this in your life, then you don't know nothing about it. If the cross ain't messing you up, when you think about Jesus on the cross, if it ain't messing you up, then you don't know nothing about the cross. If the cross is no longer an issue for you, then you need to read John 8, 42 through 47. Why the cross? Because this is the reason we're offended by the cross. We are offended by a crucified Savior. How God gonna die? That offends us. That offends us. You know why it offends us? Because we personally don't want to die. God is like, if I'm willing to lay down my life, why you not? I don't even have no sins, and I did it. I'm without spot and without blemish. I've never done wrong, and I'm willing to lay down my life for you. Why you ain't willing to die? So when you gotta wrestle with that, the cross makes you wrestle with it. When you gotta wrestle with that, why you ain't willing to be the bigger person? Why you ain't willing to forgive?
Yes, yes, yes.
Why you ain't willing to turn the other cheek?
Yes, yes.
I did. We offended by grace over works. Why? Because we are award and recognition driven. We want people to see our good works, and we want them to pat. I don't care how much y'all say y'all don't care about what people think about y'all. You care. I don't even care if it's your children. You want your children to say, "Mama, you a good mama. Daddy, you a good daddy. You a good boss. You a good sister. You a good friend." You know, nobody want people talking bad about them or how they ain't show up for them or be there for them. Everybody want to feel like they a good person. And we do things. We do things to make people believe in our goodness, and we want to like then, but it's not enough. You know, we say, I'm not doing it to get nothing in return. You still want to hear that thank you. You want to hear that thank you. You want to hear it. You want to hear good job. We are offended by the exclusivity of Christ. We want it to be another way. Come on, Pastor. It got to be another way now. Why this got to be the only way? Why I can't just, like, I'm doing all this. It's like the reason I'm doing all this. Why I can't just do this one thing? This only it's the only thing I'm trying to hold on to. This, I'm like, it's the only little thing. Why I can't just keep this, Jesus? We offended by the exclusivity. We offended by repentance. We are offended by holiness. Hallelujah. The one that he told me had me, he says that grace over works. That recognition, that doing a good job. Like even in my natural life, I have always taken the perspective when it came to my kids. Like I would go out in the yard and I would work, and I'd be out there working so hard and nobody would come out there and help me. And I'd be saying, "God, I'm leading by example. They see how hard I'm working. Why they won't come out here and help?" And my wife be like, "You gotta ask them. You gotta ask them." I be like, "Why I gotta tell them? Can't they see? Like, my daddy be out here doing why can't they see how hard I'm working?" And then I just be so offended and be making like, "Man, I ain't gonna do nothing for them then. I still do it because I know I got to, but I don't want to. I be holding that thing because I want them to see my good works, and I want them to say, like, man, my daddy be going because I want that recognition." See, that's that deceitful part. Still calling myself good, knowing I'm holding stuff in my heart against my kids, even though I don't act on it. Jesus, the cross take that thing to a whole nother level. He say, you might as well act on it if it's in your heart. If all of those things that I do, or I'm saying people are doing to me, when I look in the mirror, I'm doing the same thing to Jesus. I'm doing the same thing to him. That's why it has to be grace over works. Because if you lean into grace, your works won't be so burdensome. And I'm going to close with this. This is Matthew 11, 28 and 30. This was my takeaway. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon ye and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's light. Jesus is saying, my leadership, y'all study what a yoke is. I was reading it say that it's like all yokes were not one size fit all. They were specially designed so that they wouldn't hurt the animal. Jesus says, my leadership won't wound you. It fits you. The stuff that he, see, and I have to realize, this mess you up. The stuff that he asked me to do, he might not never ask you to do. And I got to be okay with that. God be saying, man, Anthony have to do that. Why I got to do it? Because the yoke, whatever he called me to do, it fit me. And it won't hurt me. His commands are not harsh. They give you life. Whatever he asking you to do, it's going to bring life to you. He called me the pastor. It's supposed to be giving me life. So I shouldn't be bitter while I'm doing it. Because it could be worse. He says, I don't burden you, I heal you. All of this means submitting to Jesus daily. You got to let him lead you. Y'all notice the daily part, right? If you write notes, underline that. You got to let him lead you in every area of your life, your decisions, your relationships, your work. Watch this. Your emotions, your responses, and your callings. You got to know what you call to do. You got to learn from him continually. You have to become a lifelong student of his word. Catch this one. You got to walk with him, not for him. Some of y'all think, man, I'm out here living for Jesus. Jesus don't need you to live for him. He is life. I'm out here working and grinding for Jesus. Jesus don't need you to work for him. He's strong. He don't need you to defend him. He's strong all by himself. You got to walk with him, not for him. Christianity is not self-effort. It's co-laboring. Lord, I just want to do what you tell me to do. I just want to go where you tell me to go. I just want to be where you are. Apply that to every area of your life. Lord, I just want to love my husband like you want me to love my husband. I want to treat my kids how you want me to treat my kids. I don't want to lean to my own understanding because I done raised two. Don't let me mess up the last two. Just because I talk to this one this way, don't let me talk to that one this way. Lead me in every area of my life. Let me respond how you would respond. Lord, how? Tell me what I should be feeling right now, God. Say that sometime when something happens, say, Lord, tell me how I should feel right now. Ask that, how should I feel right now? If we do those things, we will receive rest for our soul. I'm talking about an inner rest that exists when life is busy and difficult. We are trading heavy. You got to trade. You got to say, Lord, I trade all these heavy burdens for your presence.
Yes, yes.
Knowing that. You got to say that. Say, Lord, I trade all these heavy burdens for your presence, knowing that his presence is going to offend you. You ever been in a room with somebody you respect?
Yes.
Then you be scared to say and do the wrong thing because you don't want them to be like, ooh, I'm disappointed in you.
Yes.
You got to understand when you invite Jesus in your life, he should have that type of effect where you like, man, it's hard. I got to really think about what I'm going to say and what I'm going to do and how I'm going to act. That guilt, that shame, that legalism, that fear, that self-reliance, all of those things are heavy. But Jesus is leadership, not pastor. Because I'm telling you, this leadership right here, this thing is flawed. I do the best that I can. I do my sis text. She texts me, I'm talking about family, she texts and I'm done. She texts me and she say, y'all are amazing human beings. Whew. If you only knew, sis, I'm doing the best that I can. But the real leadership is Jesus. Is Jesus. Y'all come on, give the Lord a hand.